Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require. In a recent study by the Harris Poll on behalf of Express Employment Professionals, 71% of hiring decision makers are willing to hire contingent workers to meet their business needs. But more than half of those hiring expect to face challenges in finding qualified candidates. Express Employment Professionals is here to make hiring easier. Express is in the business of recruiting talent. Discover for yourself how working with the workforce experts can solve your hiring challenges. Visit expresspros.com for a location near you. Summer is coming and that means vacation. But if you are a parent, you know how fast your kids grow. And that means nothing from last summer will fit. And we need to get the kids new summer clothes. Well, if you're looking for summer clothes for the kids like me, you are in luck. Macy's Friends and Family Sale is coming. And trust me, you don't want to miss it. Get an extra 30% off brands that almost never go on sale, like Levi's, Calvin Klein, Tommy Hilfiger, Nike, Gap, Hotel Collection, Lego, and more. And 15% off beauty, makeup, and more. Plus free shipping when you spend $25. April 25th to May 5th, Macy's.com and in-store.
Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
This week's Thursday Therapy, we have Karina Kilcoyne. So she is a former trial lawyer who specialized in criminal defense, including complex white-collar and civil litigation. But now she passionately shares her own personal story of trauma and healing. She's got a book out called Rise Above the Story, Free Yourself from Past Trauma and Create the Life You Want. Let's get her on.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Karina.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Great.
We're excited to have you on. We were reading your bio before you came on. I was like, ooh, ooh. I'm like, man, there's just like heavy, heavy, heavy. And then obviously your book, I love what you're doing now, using your past trauma to now create the life that you want. And you wrote this book and... we'll just start with, can you fill in our audience kind of the cliff notes of your upbringing? Because it's a lot, it's heavy.
Yeah, it is. So, when I was about 12, my father got sentenced to the federal penitentiary and he left behind, me and my two younger siblings and my mother, who suffered from some mental health issues, including depression, anxiety, and manic episodes. And she didn't handle the stress and the pressure very well of, you know, being left with the kids and the responsibility. So she and I shifted roles and I started caring for her. And we lived in a poverty-stricken situation after my father was gone. And I really had to do a lot to survive. And that included, you know, scrounging up change to buy food and asking strangers for money to help buy food and pay bills. And we would go without hot water and electricity. And I was, you know, hell bent on escape, right? To get away from where I was. And when I was 24, I graduated law school. Also, at that same age, my mother died of cancer. And by then she had had my last brother and he was only 9 at the time. So I adopted him and went on to raise him.
What kind of cancer did your mom have?
Cervical.
Cervical. Were you guys... By that time, what was y'all's relationship like?
It wasn't healed or repaired in any stretch of the imagination. And I was really the one left to take care of her. So even on, you know, her deathbed, it was me caring for her. And we had, you know, hospice come in, but she passed away in my childhood bed. And there was a lot of unresolved issues, especially on my end, that she wasn't really willing to talk about even then. And it took me a long time, you know, decades after she left for me to really find forgiveness for her.
Well, you know, we talk a lot on our this podcast about our parents and we're all in our 40s. Well, almost, sorry, Kat, you got 1 month. So I'm just going to say we're all in our 40s. And it's one thing where we've had challenging times, especially with our
moms, where we want them to kind of see us and understand, but it's I don't know. It's almost like they didn't do the work maybe that we've done. So it's hard for us to see and be on the same page. So how do you go, okay, I didn't get to say these things to my mom, but I'm going to do differently. Like, do you have kids?
You have a fur baby.
I have a fur baby. I have the brother that I raised, and my husband has children. So okay. I've known him a long time, and I've been involved in raising them. So I understand that, you know, the mother component, and I will tell you that I think some of this, you know, is generational, mm-hmm. right? I think some, you know, at some point, you know, my mother, you know, she was in this generation where you didn't process and you didn't talk about, and there was a lot of shame about things. So I don't think that they knew then what we know now. And I don't think that they were as in tune to mental health and healing. So I think that's one thing. And I would also say that my forgiveness from my mother came with age and perspective, but it also came when I found compassion for her and I understood her story. So, you know, I write a lot in the book about this idea of multi-generational transfer of trauma, right? And so when I understood my mother's story, that my mother was never mothered, my mother's mother abandoned her when she was a baby. She didn't know her mother and her father was an alcoholic. And she was raised until she was 12 by her grandmother, who spoke no English. So my mother had her own story, and she didn't rise above it. So for me to find forgiveness for her, it took me finding compassion and empathy for her and understanding that she too had a story. And so for me, you know, where does it stop? Well, I decided to stop this multi-generational transfer trauma because, you know, when I understand where I came from and I understand those, my people's stories, you know, I choose differently. I choose self-awareness. I choose self-compassion. I choose, you know, reasoning and judgment and understanding what I had been through on one hand, right? As these are the facts of what I've been through, but then also giving myself some compassion for how I handled it, right? And lifting myself up out of the shame of, you know, what I did wasn't shameful as a child asking people for money. For a long time, I thought that was so shameful, right? And now I have this compassion for myself. And that's what I try to teach and be an example of to the children that I've been blessed to mother.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you kind of default back into that like survival? I mean, when you're raised with that kind of setting, the resilience level that you have is like astronomical. And so I share some parts of your story a little bit, not nearly to the degree. But I wasn't able to say my dad and I never had the reckoning before he passed away. I don't think that he would ever be able to on this side hear what I have to say truly. But I wonder, do you find yourself, I know the hard rewiring, like that deep detangling of how you handle and like at rest, do you still feel that like in survival, flight or fight? Or do you feel like you've kind of gotten that settled into like a piece of, is there a sense of calmness now? Or do you default back to that?
I definitely feel a sense of calmness now, but it took me a long time. It took me years and years of healing. And I call it a journey of healing because that's exactly what it was. You know, it was like, two steps forward and one step back, or one step forward and two steps back because of what you're talking about, right? When you're a child of trauma in that way, and there's actually a really powerful quote in one of the books that I cite in my book, Rise Above the Story. It's a Bruce Perry quote, and he says that children who are raised in these situations are, quote, incubated in terror, right? So it's like your brain, when you're that young, doesn't understand what's happening. Your full brain doesn't develop till you're in your 20s, right? Your mid-20s. And I talk a lot about the science of healing in my book. And I distill a lot of this complex brain science into one chapter in the book because it was for me where I shifted into healing is when I understood how my brain worked. So to your question about, you know, what do I do and what is my default? My default is now it is not fight or flight. Forever, for a long time, for my whole life before this healing, it was for sure the default. I even write about that in the book, and I called it Chicken Little mode, where I would go around thinking that everything was bad. Something bad was going to happen. The sky was going to fall. Everything was not good. And it took me a long time to get out of that mode. And that's all about resetting and understanding and developing the self-awareness of what your brain is doing. But also for me, it was like an entire physical, spiritual, mental healing. And that's, you know, all the things that I include in the book, which are, you know, all the practices I tried and the meditations I did and the journaling I did and the different modalities of therapy I tried, right? So it has been a long road, but I want people to know this who are listening, like it is possible to reset your default setting. It absolutely is.
They always say moms are really hard to shop for, but the truth is moms will love everything, especially if it's coming from Macy's. Macy's makes shopping for Mother's Day easy. Macy's Mother's Day gift guide has the perfect gift to make mom feel special. You can shop by price, $25 and under to $100 and under, or category like fragrance, handbags, and more. So if you don't know what to get them, Macy's got you covered. Or they have gift lists if you are really stuck, like the list for the mom who has everything, for the plant lover or for grandma. Some of their top Mother's Day gifts include Dolce & Gabbana perfume, Coach floral printed leather, Cassie crossbody bag. Whatever you need this Mother's Day, find it at Macy's. Shop Macy's.com/giftfinder. Did you know that 95% of pregnant women are not getting their recommended daily intake of key omega-3s? That's where Ritual comes in. Their prenatal contains 350 milligrams of eco-friendly vegan omega-3 DHA in every serving, sourced from algal oil instead of fish. I loved Ritual. I took it when I was pregnant with Roman. I also now take their multivitamin. It's just an amazing everyday thing that I know is good for the body. A prenatal multivitamin made traceable with vegan, bioavailable, and clinically studied key nutrients for before and during pregnancy, like omega-3 DHA to support baby's brain development and choline and methylated folate to support baby's neural tube development. Their vitamins are rigorously tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. Ritual works with world-class certification bodies to validate their products. Why settle for a multivitamin you're not 100% sure about? Ritual was literally built on trust, so you know it's the real deal. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/wine. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women prenatal to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/wine for 25% off. So I've recently got some boots in the mail that I had to try because I'm a boot girl. I love boots, but wow, I'm never going back to Tecovas, you guys. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather and custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots. So have you ever heard of Sarasate?
No.
Okay. So I'm doing it next week. So I've had some past PTSD stuff where it keeps coming up in therapy, right? Or my response goes to the fight or flight. Mm-hmm. My therapist, you know, we've done the EMDR, we've done all the things. And she's like, I really want you to try Sarasate. So I'm starting, it was supposed to be when the whole winter snowstorm mm-hmm. thing happened, but I had to reschedule it to the following week. So basically what it is you go there and it's all about resetting your nervous system, right? And your brain. So it's like, your brain can't change unless your brain sees itself. So it's, you go there, it's every day for 4 days. And then you go back, I think it's like 2 weeks after that, but you listen to these like waves and they put these things on your head essentially. And then your brain sees what the brain kind of needs to change. And it's this whole like science for changing your brain and helping, you know, anxiety or depression or those mm-hmm. things that where there's a blockage in your brain. It's like you can't change the brain unless your brain sees what's the problem.
Interesting.
So I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but yeah, I'm like, yeah. I'm at this moment, I'll do anything. You know what I mean? I'm like lock me up in something.
And thank you for telling me, because I do love to go and try all these things.
It says, uses brain initiated sound to relax the brain and allow it to reset, restore harmony, and free the mind from a freeze or fight or flight state. So yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It was kind of taking like old school sound therapy, right? And all this stuff, and like applying it in a different way, which was what my point was going to be, is that I love that there's this evolution, right, of trauma therapy that comes from some of these old, old school kind of modalities. And then they just kind of keep adding on and building on and trying them. And that's one of the things that I really talk about in the book, and I really believe in, is having the courage to try things. I feel like healing is kind of like a dim sum menu, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to just be traditional therapy. It can be traditional therapy for sure has value, but it's also other things. And I just think that, you know, having the courage to sometimes try those other modalities can be really helpful.
Well, I was going to ask, so now that you say that you're essentially in a healed spot, do you still deal with the trauma, in therapy, or do you feel like you're kind of past dealing with that trauma? Like you've kind of gotten past it, or is that something that you think that you'll always have to kind of deal with? Like, 'cause I know, Jana, like you said, you feel like you can't get past it. Is it something you ever get past, or are you always kind of dealing with that trauma, even if you feel like you've gotten to a healed spot? Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And I wouldn't say that I feel that I'm in a healed spot. I feel like I'm in a healing spot, and I recognize that, because there are always, you can look at them as setbacks, or you could look at them as opportunities to learn more about yourself and uncover another layer. And so I would say that, for me, there is this sense of, most days I feel really good. And yes, do I think about those past memories? Of course, they still pop up. But I find what happens for me is that they don't have the emotional charge that they used to. But then I do find that there are triggers, right? And also this idea of, again, the self-awareness of being aware of typically what my triggers are. You know, I still have triggers around this sense of like abandonment, right? That was a huge story for me in my youth, right? And all the way up until like my early 20s. So, like when you have these triggers, being aware of what they are and backing out of a situation for me is kind of what works, and processing the feeling and understanding where it's coming from. And that, yes, I still go to therapy. And when I do, I have a log of what's been bothering me, right? I'm a big proponent of therapy. I'm a big proponent of working your therapy, right? There's none of this, I'm sure you experience this too. Like, you don't just go in and like, then they tell you, and then you go, oh yeah, okay, that makes sense. I feel good. It's like, you are actually healing yourself, and they are guiding you or offering you something. So I'm a big proponent of going into therapy and being very honest about what has been going on with me and talking through that. And then, waiting for maybe like some insight, but I go in prepared and I leave knowing that I still have work to do when I leave that office.
What are some of your biggest tips in the book, maybe around abandonment or past trauma, that people that are listening can go, oh, I really want to, know more about that and dig it more into that tip that you give?
So the book is really a guidebook, right? I wrote it in the way I wrote it because I felt so overwhelmed at the thought of healing, and I didn't know where to start. And I was, a grown adult with a successful career, and I didn't know what to do or where to go or how to start. So what I wanted to do in this book is create a guidebook. And I broke down really what I think these tips you're talking about into like a 3-step formula. Mm-hmm. And that is really like understanding. The first one is acknowledging your trauma and the story that you've written about yourself because of it. And two is the second step is releasing your story. And this was like so deep for me, this level of healing, because it involved so much. It was like all of my old childhood stuff, all that inner child angst I had, and rage and resentment and anger that I was never allowed to express when I was a child. So it was a lot of that. And it was the forgiveness component, right? Mm-hmm. This idea of like forgiving others, which is really, really hard, but also forgiving myself. Because if you're a trauma survivor, I mean, kind of the default of that is we somehow blame ourselves for things that happen. Mm-hmm. I did that, I know for sure. And so I really get into some really good ways of how to do that and finding, you know, connection back with that inner child and like really understanding, we talked about this earlier, this compassion idea too, about like who you're trying to forgive. And then the last step is releasing the story. And that's all about flipping the script on your story, you know, finding some kind of gratitude or a silver lining in what happened, which then dovetailed so perfectly for me into finding real self-love. I mean, if you come from a childhood of trauma like I did, and like a lot of people out there listening, you're not incubated in unconditional love. You don't know what that is. You're not nurtured in self-esteem or self-confidence. So figuring out how to get on that path of really understanding how to love yourself and what that means is, you know, a big part of healing.
Can I ask, and I don't know if you talk about this in the book or not, but do you touch on your relationship with your dad in the book?
Yes. Well, I talk a lot about my relationship.
Is he still with us?
He is.
Is he still in jail?
No.
Okay. Have you guys been able to talk, or is there a relationship there?
We had a moment after my mother died where we had some conversation about the past, and I've explained how I felt and I saw him. It was interesting. It was easier for me to find compassion and forgiveness from my father than it was from my mother. But there, I would say that there is a lot about him and a lot about our relationship and a lot about who he is and who I am and the toxicity of it all that I choose not to have a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm. There's something about that incarcerated piece, because I had a former abuser that was in jail for 8+ years. And there was that weird, like, you know, he's there, but you can't have a relationship. It was a very strange thing. I remember writing him a letter and then going like, I have to stop this, because now this is going to be a weird trauma bonding with him now in like prison or something. So I never saw him after he got out, but I did talk to him on the phone very briefly. But I just remember that being just like awful as well. So I just wondered like how that conversation went.
Yeah, it's so interesting you talk about that, that kind of thick emotional, you know, realm around incarceration, because mm-hmm. I was so ashamed of that, right? I would go through my, you know, from, you know, 12 on, and I wouldn't tell anybody, right? It was so embarrassing to me. And, it wasn't until years later that I found out that, you know, like 1 in 5 people has had a parent incarcerated. But at the
really?
Time,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So at the time, though, I didn't understand that, right? It's child mm-hmm. brain stuff and what you're going through. But this idea around what like incarceration and what that means. And I remember so many different moments of, you know, him trying to call the house. And, you know, after a while, my mom didn't want to hear it. So she'd take the phone off the hook. Right. And I would think, oh my gosh, like, who's he going to call if he can't call us? It was like, even though I understood that he did something wrong, right? Something wrong to the effect of like, he broke a law and he had to go to prison. There were still parts of me, even at a young age, that felt so much compassion for him. Like and my dad was like, you know, like this strong, physically strong man. And he was, you know, a hardworking businessman. And he did, you know, he checked some boxes that were, you know, that had value and that had character and integrity. And then there were other things he did that were so, so outrageously wrong. But this idea of him being in prison, I remember most vividly, though, when he got out. And I share this in the book, that he showed up at our house and we hadn't seen him, you know, in a while. And my mother was so cold to him. And he needed money. Like, he just needed money. He said, you know, I have nothing. Like, I have nothing. Right. And she didn't even really offer him anything. And I remember looking at him and feeling so sad. And like, I wished I had money to give him, because to see my father in this position, or like he had nothing, was so striking to me, because I had always known my father as somebody who, you know, would go out in the world, and he was very good at making money. He was very shrewd and conniving, and sometimes I even called him a hustler. But to see him in this, like, this state of weakness was just so overwhelming to me. And I carried that around with me for a long time. And it really affected, like, as you can imagine, my story about money, right? Like, when you're raised in a house like that, it's kind of interesting about your perspective on money and poverty and, you know, what money gets. And so it's just really interesting what his incarceration did to me, you know, mentally and emotionally.
They always say moms are really hard to shop for, but the truth is moms will love everything, especially if it's coming from Macy's. Macy's makes shopping for Mother's Day easy. Macy's Mother's Day gift guide has the perfect gift to make mom feel special. You can shop by price, $25 and under to $100 and under, or category like fragrance, handbags, and more. So if you don't know what to get them, Macy's got you covered. Or they have gift lists if you are really stuck, like the list for the mom who has everything, for the plant lover, or for grandma. Some of their top Mother's Day gifts include Dolce & Gabbana perfume, Coach floral printed leather, Cassie crossbody bag. Whatever you need this Mother's Day, find it at Macy's. Shop Macy's.com/giftfinder. So I've recently got some boots in the mail that I had to try because I'm a boot girl. I love boots, but wow, I'm never going back to Tecovas, you guys. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather and custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, Tecovas.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots. Finding the right person for your team can be challenging. When it's time to hire, turn to Express Employment Professionals. In a recent study by the Harris Poll on behalf of Express Employment Professionals, 63% of hiring decision makers are planning to increase headcount at their company this spring, and more than half are doing so due to increased volumes of work. Don't let the work overwhelm you. Let Express handle your hiring. Express Employment Professionals is here to make hiring easier. We're in the business of recruiting talent. Discover for yourself how working with the workforce experts can solve your staffing challenges. With more than 860 locally owned offices, you'll find one near you at expresspros.com. Each year, more than 70,000 businesses turn to Express to manage their hiring. Make the most of your time and leave recruiting and hiring to the experts at Express. Visit expresspros.com today. I think it's interesting too, how you said you have a little bit more forgiveness for your dad over your mom. And that's just, and I sit here and I'm like, even though your dad was, I know, even though your dad had his issues and, you know, you have a great, which is what I know, you have a great dad, right? So at first, and then I look at mine, I'm kind of sitting here, I'm like, all right. Yeah, At first I was very angry, but as I got older, my resentment goes towards my mom. And it, you know, same with you, where I think maybe it started with your dad, but then shifted to your mom. Yeah. And then I know you have your resentments. And so it's interesting how we're, I don't know why, but what is that piece? Is it because we're angry that they're not the mother that we wanted or expected or should have had or deserved? Well,
another perspective on that is I always blamed my mom growing up because she was obvious. But as I've gotten older, even though my dad is a great man and he's whatever, I can now see where he also went wrong. So I don't know if maybe it's we just get older and we start to see and understand more to where I don't just blame her anymore.
Well, you know? I wondered that. Do you?
That was like my switch with my dad. I'm yeah. like, oh, I actually don't blame you. Like, you
I think they
up.
Did the obvious.
Yeah.
You know? And so it was just so easy to just blame
easy
them.
Easy to hate feel, them.
And, yeah. And then blame. And then like, but he was perfect or she right. was perfect, blah, blah, blah. But then you start seeing like, when you get to be an adult, you're like, wait a minute. Like, there were things. There's other things. It's not just them.
Well, that was going to be my question is there any insight in this healing journey that you can share for... Specifically, I know like Jana and I feel that like we're very, I found my dad, once I can identify that my dad was a broken kid that just didn't get loved and heard and seen. And for some reason, he is forever like 8 years old in my mind now. And that's where he lives. And I was able to move forward, not easily, but like with a lot less heaviness, you know?
Can we just go back to real fast? Remember when my dad came to the wind down, I was like, he will come back in the backstage and he will start playing guitar. But he is the 8 year old little boy that didn't get the love from his dad that said, oh, you sound so great on the guitar. But
you literally
sit there and he has to play it. I know. He will come in after, he won't say we did good, but he'll come in and he'll pick up the guitar and he'll start strumming the guitar. It'll be about him because he needs that 8 year old little boy needs my Grandpa Martin's love. You know what I mean?
You literally like she mapped it out and then, and then it was like, and scene and he entered stage right. And I was like, and there he is. Okay.
And now he's playing a song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Do you think that, have you found anything that like maybe would be helpful for people that are in all of our situations where it's like, why do you think we can, find the compassion maybe for the men, say, just because the three of us seem to have that in common and not for our mothers? Is it that we are the same gender? We know the walk, we're doing the work. We feel like, I don't know what it is, but I'm in that right now. I'm in that season of like trying to find this deep compassion and like coming up a little empty sometimes, if I'm really honest with you.
Yeah. Well, I will say from my perspective that it was more challenging because to me, I felt that my mother was supposed to be my protector and I put a lot of that on her. And I don't know necessarily that that's fair overall. I mean, I just feel like in my situation, in my childhood, it was that it was very traditional in that my mother stayed home and my father went to work, right? So I felt like, oh, my mother's supposed to be there. So in my mind, as it evolved, I felt like, oh, she's supposed to be, from what I understand or what I know, she's my mom. She's supposed to be protecting me, right? And then I had this massive role reversal with her, where I was taking care of her at a young age and not being cared for or mothered. So I think that I feel like for me, what happened was I felt so betrayed, as if I had her on this pedestal of what I expected of her and she didn't fulfill what I needed of her. And then it just evolved into more and more resentment because then it was, you know, oh, now she's sick and now she's dying and now she's going to leave me with all this, you know, with more responsibility. And I just couldn't find it. I couldn't find any softness towards her. And so for me, I think that it was just, I was so caught up in being so angry at her because I really wanted her to protect me. I wanted her to do more, right? I felt like she could have done more. And so I held her to a different standard than I held my father.
Yeah. The caretaking piece I can relate to too, for sure. To kind of wrap up, someone that's listening, that obviously we all have traumas and, but what's one hopeful thing that you want someone to get from this book?
I would say that number one thing I want people to know is that they're not alone in their pain or their suffering. I feel like so many of us kind of take it on the chin and we suppress the trauma in our story. We don't talk about it. We don't want to talk about it. Then we go through life distracted, you know, family, this, jobs, you know, Zoom calls. I feel like I want people to know that they're not alone. You know, it's like 70% of us are going to experience trauma in our lifetime. That's a National Council for Mental Wellbeing statistic. I bet it's higher. Right. So I want people to know they're not alone in that. And two, I want them to know that it is never too late to do the work. Right. Mm-hmm. Like I think a lot of people too feel like, well, you know, I've been carrying this around for so long. I really don't know what else to do about it. Well, the truth is that you know, nobody really does. It's overwhelming. So again, what I really want to do is create, take away that overwhelm and create a safe space where people feel seen and heard and a place where they can express what's happened to them. You know, there's a lot of places in this book with journal prompts and places to write. And I feel like that beginning of kind of like unearthing that is so important and valuable. And I will say that a big thing I've heard a lot too from people, you know, who have already read the book is that they do all this stuff and they think, wow, you know, now I know what I want to talk to my therapist about. Mm-hmm. You know, therapy is expensive and it's hard to get into. And then you get in there and you're like, I don't know if I trust this person. I don't know if I want to get into it. You dance around it. You talk about your relationships. You talk about your job, but you don't really get into the, you know, the deep wounds.
Weeds. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's so beautiful that, you know, when you can like go into a therapist and say, wow, okay, it was really these two things that happened to me, mm-hmm. you know, when I was 12 and 20, that kind of had put me in this situation where, you know, I'm dating the same person over and over again, where I'm, you know, afraid to ask for a raise or follow my dream, or, you know, there's all kinds of limiting stories we tell ourselves. So it's like understanding what they are, I think, is so hopeful, right? To have the self-awareness of what happened and that there's a space for you to heal it.
Yep. I love that. Well, Karina, thank you so much for coming on. Everyone, please, please, please go get her book. It is called Rise Above the Story, Free Yourself from Past Trauma and Create the Life You Want, because you do not deserve to be stuck there. You deserve to be free from it and heal and have a beautiful life. And Karina, thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Discover the rich, smooth taste of matcha love made with Japanese green tea and real matcha. There are so many culinary treats to create with this precious powder that go beyond the traditional tea ceremony. Everything from lattes to baked goods to smoothies, experience the vitality of the whole tea leaf. Matcha is vibrant in taste and full of powerful health benefits. Get 25% off all matcha love products on etoin.com using code JANA. That's code JANA. At itoen.com, available on Amazon and itoen.com. You know, I don't even know where to start with this because it's the comfort, it's the style, it's the whole look. That's what I love about my Tecovas. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend, and Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Shop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, TECOVAS.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good. What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7. Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.